Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is disbelief. All of my guests are discussing ideas that we may not believe. My first guest is an expert on the real estate market. She's the CEO of the Real Wealth Network, a real estate investing group. Despite what economists would have you believe about the economic recovery, we're not seeing signs of the recovery in our daily lives. We'll discuss whether the United States economy can have a recovery without the real estate market participating. My second guest is a marketing and public relations expert. Despite what many business owners believe, public relations is both easy to do and effective. He has a painless 30-minute per day way to grow your publicity. We'll discuss his 30-minute PR system. My third guest is a noted skeptic and researcher. He debunks widely held beliefs from ghosts to gods, from politics to conspiracies. We'll discuss findings in his latest book, The Believing Brain. And if you want to join in the conversation or ask a question, you can always call us at 639-0008. My first guest, Kathy Fedke, is an active real estate investor, a certified personal coach, and the host of the Real Worth Network show. She's the founder of the Real Wealth Network, an organization dedicated to helping members get the most current and cutting-edge information that they need to be successful real estate investors. Kathy received her BA in broadcast communications from San Francisco State University, and she worked in the newsrooms of CNN, Fox, CTV, and ABC7. She's also the past president of the American Women in Radio and Television. Kathy now lives in Southern California with her husband and her two young daughters. Welcome back to the show, Kathy. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm doing great.
Well, it's great to have you back, and I love recurring guests. The last time you were on the show, we were kicking it around about the latest Standard & Poor's Case-Shiller report that showed signs of a double-dip recession in housing. What's fueling the fears of a double-dip recession in housing prices?
Well, you know, we're comparing this year's numbers with last year's, and we really can't do that. It's not apples to apples, which is a fun game, by the way. you know, we're looking. Last year, you could get $8,000 for buying a house, and you don't have that kind of incentive this year. So, you know, the Case-Shiller report was just down 2% from last year. That doesn't freak me out. It was February, a short month, a cold month. So again, you know, I don't really see a double dip here. I think we're just finding the natural market. Without all that government stimulation.
Well, that does bring up the whole question about government stimulation, Kathy. Was the government stimulation of $8,000 for new home buyers, A, warranted, and B, did it just prolong the inevitable recycling that the housing economy, the residential housing economy, has to go through?
Well, if the government stimulus was going to be there forever, then maybe it would be, it would have been fine, but because it was taken away, it just prolonged the inevitable.
It did. It just prolonged the inevitable. Okay.
Which is really not a bad thing. I mean, I'm a big believer in a natural marketplace and letting buyers determine what value is and not having the government, you know, be involved in that.
Right, exactly. And that was the point of my question. You know, did the government act irresponsibly by having that $8,000 incentive for first-time homebuyers?
Well, that would be a shocking thing for the government to act irresponsibly, wouldn't it?
All right.
Well, do that.
All right. A point well taken. And we won't go down that path. I do want to stick on the subject for today, which is disbelief. And I think you and I are both in agreement, or disbelief over the government doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. So let's move on to the next thing that I had in my mind. And that is the whole idea of using the Standard & Poor's and Case-Shiller figures at all. I mean, they're lagging indicators. The figures that we look at in February of 2011, for example, really reflect home sales that ended in November of 2010.
Yeah.
So why do we rely on this dated information to give us a picture of what the real estate market is actually doing?
Well, you know, it's a great question because, right, you know, the next report's going to come out soon in a few days, and it's going to be the same headlines as, oh, no, the world is falling. You know, that is old news. However, for people like me, I still like having that data. I just don't think it should be headline news without explaining that it's old news. But for us, we need different companies calculating these statistics for us, because before we were just relying on National Association of Realtors, and I'm not sure that's the best place to get our data.
All right. So you don't want to rely on the anecdotal information that you get from the realtors themselves. Mm-hmm. You want some sort of an independent body to sort of verify it. It's an unfortunate, because of the data gathering, that it has to be so far behind when the actual sales happened.
Yeah, you know, I really do like to, if I'm going to buy some real estate, which I do every day, I'm going to be just more concerned about what's going on in the area that I'm interested in. And you get that kind of information just from driving around, seeing if there's a lot of for sale signs, going to the local recorder's offices, talking to appraisers, talking to people in the business, finding out how long it's taking to sell a home. You're going to get more data from that than relying on a national statistic that does nothing for, you know, it's not local.
Certainly, that is much more not only local, but real-time data as well. We're talking to Kathy Fedke, who is the CEO of the Real Wealth Network. And Kathy, the big question on my mind is this. Ben Bernanke, who's the Fed chairman, and other economists are telling us that the United States economy is rebounding, you know, that we're showing signs of improvement month over month. Yet, when I go to the gas station or when I go to the grocery store, you know, I am in disbelief. I don't find that that is true, at least in my day-to-day life. But the bigger question for you is this, because you've got your finger on the pulse of real estate, residential real estate around the country. Can the United States economy recover without the real estate market participating? And by that, I mean the residential real estate market.
Oh, you know, this is the question I've been wanting to answer, and I do talk about a lot on my blog, is we've got to use different indicators for economic recovery than we've been using. And relying on housing is just an outdated indicator. We overbuilt. You know, we had developers and builders with stockholders saying, get us some returns, build some homes. And those builders would walk in and get a loan, and they'd be able to build. They'd get paid right away as soon as they got the loan. So there was a lot of incentive to overbuild. And at the time, it seemed like it would be okay, because the people who would be the end buyer could also walk into the bank and walk out with a loan. That game ended.
Sure did, with a crash.
We have a lot of homes that still need people in them. So and the prices have to come down enough that people can afford them. So to try to rely on more housing or new housing, it's ridiculous. We already did that. So, yeah, I've been saying over and over again, we've got to find a new economic indicator. Look what one little group in Northern California did in the Silicon Valley. Three companies that have literally changed the world. That's Facebook, Google, and Twitter. You know, it's this kind of thing that's going to change the world. It's going to bring us out of the crisis. New inventions,
new ideas, and really producing value for the economy. That is the backbone of the economy, no doubt about it. Are we starting to see changes in real estate pricing for the better, Kathy? Is the market firming up, or is there still a chance that we're bouncing along the bottom with no real improvement in sight?
It just depends, again, on that key word for real estate. It's location. I just read somewhere that in French, and I'm not sure if this is true or not, the word for real estate is immobilier.
Immobilier, yes.
Yeah, okay, so, you know, immobile. That's what real estate is. It doesn't move. You're kind of stuck with it. So You know, if the area that you own the real estate in turns bad, not much you can do about that because you're stuck with an immobile thing. So you've got to really be careful and think first and foremost about location. As I'm talking to you, I'm standing here in Malibu looking at the ocean. This property that I stand on will probably always be valuable unless we start having a bunch of tsunamis, and then it won't, right?
Exactly right.
So it's all about really looking at, will this land, not what's built on it, but this land that I'm on be valuable for a long period of time? And that, again, that all depends on where our economy's headed. We're starting to see that more and more people can work from home. Well, that means that those cheap parcels of land outside of cities might become more valuable because people can live everywhere, anywhere.
That's true. All you really need is a fast internet connection in some cases, and you can work from anywhere in the world. We're talking to Kathy Fedke, CEO of the Real Wealth Network. And Kathy, let's bring it down home to local, because you are now in Southern California. You're familiar with the Ventura and the Santa Barbara markets. Maybe not as familiar as you would be with the Malibu market, but certainly we're close enough cousins for you to sort of give us an appraisal. What do you think about residential real estate in Santa Barbara and Ventura right now? Have we seen the bottom? Are we back on the way up?
Well, here's the problem with these high-priced marketplaces, like anywhere along the coast in California, is it's expensive. You know, that's the bottom line. It is not cheap to live in this beautiful place. And so you got a couple of things happening in the high-priced market. You got some people who are really, really raking it in. There are businesses that thrive during recession. So the people that own those businesses, well, you know, they're going to buy some great deals along the coast. For the rest of the world, for people who work for those people, it's getting harder and harder to own property. So the bottom line is the high-priced real estate will... there'll always be a market for that. It'll be international. It'll be the business owners. It'll be the people that know how to thrive in any market. But we really do need to focus on the common person, and the common person can't afford, coastal property. So in some areas, in the middle-class neighborhoods, it may not have hit bottom yet because we've just got to look at salary versus home price.
All right, Kathy. Well, let me ask you another question about the every person that you referred to in that last answer. After 9/11 in 2001, it became very clear that it was a mandate from then President George W. Bush to the Federal Reserve Chairman that we wanted to have easy money, and he stated outright that home ownership for everyone was a goal of his administration. So interest rates were kept low, as we found out later, too low for too long, and then people were allowed to get into homes. Banks were lending money because they were being backed. The loans were being backed by Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, which were government, quasi-government agencies. Do you believe that home ownership is a right for Americans, or is that something that we need to re-examine that particular premise?
Oh, absolutely. The only rights we have as Americans technically should be that we are protected from war in our own country. But to have the right to own property, I mean, that's ridiculous. Anyone who's owned property and then went back to renting will tell you that it's a lot easier to be a renter.
Oh, yeah.
you've got to be able to calculate for the kinds of expenses that come up when you're a homeowner. And not everybody has that kind of extra money to put on a new roof when needed or do the maintenance required when you own a home. So, no, of course it shouldn't be a right. I mean, it's certainly a goal. It's the American dream. But a lot of people are finding that for their kind of personality and their job and their income levels, it's much better for them to be renters.
We're talking to Kathy Fedke, CEO of the Real Wealth Network. Kathy, one final question as far as the economy goes. I mentioned it in my setup to the question that I asked you about the economy, and that is that we're starting to see inflation at the grocery store and at the gas pump. How does real estate hedge against rising inflation?
That is such a great question, and it's kind of related to what I just said. In the high-priced markets in California, it may never make sense for the average person to own property. But in other parts of the country, there's never been a better time. It's much, much cheaper in certain areas to own than to rent. Now, over time, with the crazy expansion of the money supply that's happening, with our government, rents will go up. The rents and home prices always go up with inflation. So, you know, you can call it appreciation or you can call it hyperinflation, but eventually home prices and rents will go up. So if you can afford to buy a home, and if the monthly payment on your mortgage is cheaper than what it would cost to rent, and you get those tax write-offs, which we don't know if we'll always have those, but right now we still do have tax benefits for owning real estate, then it could really be a tremendous hedge against inflation. Plus, you know, we talk a lot about one of the reasons that the government's printing so much money is it's one way to reduce the amount of debt you got to pay. If you can just print a bunch of money, all of a sudden that debt becomes a little bit less. And that's the same in real estate, where the debt just starts, you know, in 10 years, 20 years from now, what's today's payment going to feel like? Not much. It's going to feel like a cup of coffee, I think.
Oh, I hope you're wrong about that. We're talking to Kathy Fedke, who's the CEO of the Real Wealth Network. Kathy, tell me real quickly, in the minute that we've got remaining, how does the Real Wealth Network benefit its members?
Well, we teach people, really, I'm just not one of those people saying, yeah, it's always the best time to buy real estate. We're very, very careful about studying the economy. And what we're finding, we post on our website and we talk to people. There are parts of the country where it's been overcorrected, meaning you can buy cheap, cheap properties that will go up tremendously in value. And we're showing you where that is and what areas to stay away from, where it's dangerous. I just saw an article today where B of A is giving away homes. The first thing I thought is, stay away. If no one wants it, you don't either. So there's just a lot of information and resources for you to make smart decisions, to take advantage of the crisis and make some money, build long-term wealth. We actually have a live event tomorrow night in L.A. If that's not too far for people, come join us because we're going to talk about triple net leases, which is when the tenant pays for all your expenses. It's a very solid way to gain cash flow in the real estate market through a triple net lease. So we're going to talk all about how to do that and just help people make smart real estate decisions.
Wow. We've been talking to Kathy Fedke, who is the CEO of the Real Wealth Network. Kathy, if people want to learn more about your event tomorrow night, just want to learn more about the Real Wealth Network in general, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, real as in real estate, wealth as in the health of your money, and network as in the kind of experts, real estate experts I interview on my show and bring to our, you know, interview on our blog, Real Wealth Network, or 888-RW-Network, like Real Wealth, 888-RW-Network.
And Kathy, is that realwealthnetwork.com or .org?
realwealthnetwork.com.
Thank you so much, Kathy. It has been a delight, as it always is, speaking with you about residential real estate. We'll talk to you down the road.
Oh, thanks so much.
Take care.